Eden village type of reading. It's called the interregnum period. The Nile was dry. There was no water for 7 years. When they talk about global warming, they don't even know what they're talking about.
Is it cold?
Well, these are bad.
What?
Global warming.
Do I believe that? Yeah. You're talking to one of the nastiest guys in Canada. It is.
800 years ago, plus or minus, I forget, I got a history of Alberta written by a guy, and it's referable. It was so hot in the northern prairies here, there was no boreal forest, there were no animals, there was no grass. There's a lot of questions. And so many, just like the art. That was a hell. I was asked by the Comox Indian band to paint their main religious thing. And it's the flood. And when you read their. The similarities are so much to Moses and the Ark. Not Moses.
There was really a flood.
It's unbelievable.
It occurred. The flood really occurred. Because almost all the ancient histories, they talk about the flood.
And the Mayans had the same thing as Atlantis. They all did. But you know, the funny thing is I went through a lot of this stuff. The research on that. And the funny thing is, our archaeologists and historians are so stupid that for 150 years they haven't been able to think. Okay? Where do you think most of the great cities in the very ancient world were? This is way before ancient Egypt.
Underwater.
No, but where were they?
They're underwater.
They were on the coast. They were on the coast during deep glaciation. So what's the change in the sea level since deep glaciation? From somewhere between 600 and 1800 feet sea level rise. So what do you think happened to the cities that were at sea level 12,000 or 15,000 years ago? They're under 600 to 1800 feet of water. That's deep ocean almost when we consider. And our dumb historians, and I was dumb as well, had the chart on my wall. For like years, it never clued into me when we were doing our history until somebody said that Cleopatra's palace had been found in 35 feet of water. And I just, when they said that, oh God, what an idiot. Of course, I mean, I got the chart on my wall for years in my kitchen. It's from the Geological Survey of Canada. Of course, all those cities are underwater. Of course, there isn't an Atlantis. There is no Atlantis. There's hundreds of Atlantises. And our scientists are just too stupid to turn their brains on for 150 years. That's how bad this stuff is. That's why it's climate. The real issue behind climate science has nothing to do with the climate whatsoever. The real issue is, how do you describe and explain the catastrophic failure of rational, logical, and scientific reasoning by essentially all government and academic research scientists. That means all university professors, all grad students, and all the government scientists. And you know what? They're stupid. I mean, they're great intellectual robots. They memorize everything according to the current science fashions that became cults and that are now religions. They are disciples. They are worse than the fanatical disciples of religions, of theological religions. They're fanatical disciples of science religions, which often have no basis that's justified, which have only been around for a few years or decades or maybe 200 years. So what? So they haven't proven themselves. They haven't stood the test of time, but they persecute any person, scientist or non-scientist, that stands up and notices, you know what, your theories are a pile of crap, and they really are. So So that's what the thing is. That's what I think about climate science. Doesn't mean they're right. Doesn't mean they're wrong. That's not the point. They're liars. They're morons. They're hypocrites. They're backstabbers. They're delinquents. They're cowards. And they're parasites. That's what the real issue is. Now, do you really want to know what I think?
Thank you.
These are very stupid people, the university problems. Essentially, less than one in 10,000.
The physicists, most of them.
Bullshit. It's all bullshit.
They get so many amount of money lecturing.
But it's not the money. It really isn't the money.
It's the brain.
I know. This is why
the
skeptics and the policemen, everybody disagrees with me. They think I'm crazy, right? But it's not the money. I worked in the government. I talk to scientists now all the time. They truly believe, Gary. They truly believe. The money, sure, catalyzes things and push it, but that's not what's, you know, 99% of the scientists aren't getting that big money, but they all totally believe the bullshit. They're not smart enough not to. They can't do anything. They can't think. That's the real issue.
They are telling, when the earth is so much polluted, everything, we can live in Mars. And that's
we can live in Mars. And now they said the Pluto now is a planet.
They know all the details about the Mars. And they haven't been to the moon yet.
Yeah.
They know exactly the air, mixture, everything. Every smallest particles in Mars, they know. That's bullshit. We drive to Alberta or the Rockies and we lost signal. We lose signal with our phones. So how can we communicate to the moon?
Yeah. In the center of BC, and you were there when you went out to that hockey camp. We drove up there and spent overnight. It's all volcanic. This one area,
humongous area. Here, Canada.
Remaining old volcanoes. And what's that? Kind of pillars of rock.
Those Rocky Mountains.
I don't remember hexagonal rock pyramids in Canada. The Giant's Causeway in Ireland is famous.
Yeah, and that's in Ireland. And
yeah, but I haven't heard of that in Canada.
Some beautiful waterfall. We camped on a big lake where there's two or three lakes. And they're historic for tourists that go like Lake Canoan. They have to make it, they call them Chain Lake. I think something like that.
Like the Devil's Tower in the US. When they looked at it, they're all hexagonal columns built.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Giant hexagonal columns in the mid, in inside. And the scientist explained it. It was volcanic. It's not volcanic. To make a hexagonal columns. The only nearest possibility of having hexagonal columns, it was before a plant, a tree, a giant tree, fossilized tree. It was written also in the early his histories that during the early years the trees can grow miles and miles up.
Oh, I'm sure there was some pretty big forests. I forget the geological area, but the dinosaur period.
And the dinosaurs coexisted with men. They were, they dug up some bones and artworks. That dinosaurs are being like work animals. They are carved in stones, dinosaurs and men together.
Don't have to go very far. Alligators, sea-otolins, garfish, the list is endless. Frogs, lizards, they're all from birds. They're actually dinosaur related, they think now. They're the one of the few close dinosaur relatives that actually survived. But
that big old one down in the Calgary Zoo, when they built it, well, that used to be where everybody went Sunday, and I mean, that big old lawn there.
Dino the dinosaur.
Was just crowded with people picnicking on Sunday. Well, so they're building the dinosaur. We'd go over and climb the back, right up to the time that they got it completed, and come down again. Of course, they won't allow it now, but it was quite a ride. And then they built a, I forget the name of them anymore, that one with the big protective thing over its neck, you know, got kind of a beak. One hell of a big pig.
With the shield, with triceratops.
Yeah, that's where it was. Then they built him a little further on the north end of the island. Then they started building a few all over hell. And soon they started developing the park, you know, one building that big tropical garden place. And we used to go down there on Sundays all through the winter with the family. And they could run around in the greenhouse. Do you remember that?
I remember a bit of going to the zoo.
I used to, when the weather is fine, I ride my scooter around the zoo. Around the zoo. I take the deer foot trail. The bicycle lanes are beautiful. Now it's wider. Wider bicycle. I will take you there. It's a nice ride from here to...
I've gone down the jogging path. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah.
In the valley.
Yeah.
I've run down there before. And I used to take my bicycle from 16th Avenue where Nancy Hall, I was staying at her place, because I worked way down in Mackenzie Town, so I'd ride the bike from 16th Avenue north, east down to Mackenzie Town.
The cyclist, they tried to follow me. And they were only allowed to go 30, but we go 60. We go 60, and they are behind me, really standing like that.
60.
Yeah, that's bad news if you spill. Like if you hit a crack and flip
or
over on your
somebody waiting
scooter.
with the gun.
Yeah.
That's $400 penalty over speeding.
Well, I was riding my bike too fast in Ottawa in the parks to go back and forth to work. And then they made a big noise about it. I wonder if I was the one that caused that. And then, you know, it was stupid me doing that. But it's usually fairly early in the morning. There's no families or kids. But after I finished work, here they were. But, you know, they're not usually on the bike path. But, you know, something can happen. You never know. But getting on the roads in the traffic on a bicycle is, I wouldn't have done it. It's too damn. I had to go on roads once in a while because they didn't have pathways everywhere. And your life is always in your, you know, at risk when you're on the streets during rush hour with cars.
Yeah. Because they can't see you.
It's the same thing as me. I mean, I'm not going to be a hypocrite. I often miss bicycles when I'm driving. You know, they're there. Your eyes can see them, but your mind doesn't because you're not looking for them. You're looking to try not to get killed by cars and trucks. There's not that many bikes out there.
Now, the electric scooter in downtown is very popular. The people like it.
Yeah, which school?
Electric scooter.
Oh, electric scooter.
They like that.
I wonder how that's going to work on the ice in the winter.
It's too slippery.
Yeah, well, the thing is, you got to be careful because in Ottawa and Montreal, they salt the road, right? That salt,
gravel.
If it's not using, well, you know what? In Calgary, there's more and more salt. And if they use salt, you better have stainless steel components, which means your bike would cost 10 times as much. Because otherwise, it's like, more than that, just gone. It's like, it's 1 year, and my friends would be replacing all their sprockets and everything like that. Because they just can't take it. I mean, my bike didn't last a year, but then I didn't clean it off. But it's winter. How are you going to wash it? Where are you going to wash your bike? Without having ice all over the sidewalk and everything. So, I don't know. It's,
Would you like some coffee?
No, I haven't had coffee for a long time.
Okay. I'll have some. So, you?
No, thanks, Gary. I've had enough.
I'll have a refill of coffee.
No.
Are you getting tired, Dad?
Oh, don't worry about it. I'm enjoying just getting out of the bloody house.
Yeah. I'm not enjoying right now.
Pardon me?
I'm not enjoying the last couple of weeks because I'm not getting my physics project done. I'm too busy on other bullshit. Well, it took a week for that this mass email for the conference.
Yeah.
Only like 2 days to do it, but then I had built some web pages now. But it's just like, again, it's like a think of throwing everything in the garbage and just going to some remote island somewhere so I can work instead of getting distracted by all this other BS. I just hate this. I'm getting older and slower. So when things interrupt, you know, the jogging is interrupting, but I'm trying to do that to stay alive, right? Get back in shape. I didn't run yesterday. That was disappointing. Sunday had a good run on Sunday. Really good run on Sunday. Wasn't running much, it was mostly walking, but still. So I did bring that book about market and stock market.
About who?
The book on stock market analysis.
Oh.
It's the best book on sociology. One of the five best I've ever read.
Yeah.
This guy's way smarter than any university prof. And the humanities is such a shithole of dumb thinking anyways, right? They got some really creative guys, but mostly it's just conformist, you know, pseudo-religious bullshit of the academics that causes far more damage to society than good. Psychology and sociology in particular. Now, if they weren't there, we'd be way ahead of where we are. But they just screw everything up. So this book is phenomenal, but it makes me feel so good. It destroyed a lot of my belief systems.
What book?
He's calling it now socionomics. It's, if you know much of,
I still have the book I borrowed, The Art of War.
Oh, yeah, well, whenever
but
you finish
it. I have not started it yet because of my job.
Yeah.
I couldn't lift a page.
Yeah, when I read a book, I tend to get into it. Carmelita, you're probably wondering whether or not there's much typewritten pages or just my writing.
Yes,
but
it's part of the design.
I'm pretty nasty too. I don't hold punches when, you know, I'll say stupid things and later on I realize I'm wrong. But the worst thing that could happen is if I read a book, if I go back 5 or 10 years later and go through a section because I now have to take a second look and notice that I missed key points, I'll be mad with myself. Mm-hmm. You know, that you should react when the author says something stupid or they don't agree with or like looks weird.
Right.
Write it down. And if you agree with it strongly, write it down. Right. And then 10 years later, you might come back and that thing you totally agreed with the author and it's obvious it was a pile of crap. And you failed. You failed, right? If you fail on both sides, all sides, you know, if you don't comment.
I had a book with made marks, put marks on. It was the book that I have written on almost every page.
Yeah. That's how I like to do it.
It's called
what?
Zen. Zen
just
in the Art of Motorcycle Mechanics.
And what was it?
Zen and the Art of Motorcycle.
Oh, that's a famous book.
Yeah.
The software programmers all like that one. Well, not all, but I mean, it was famous in software programming.
My mind was doing that.
Yeah. But basically, one of the key things about this book is that I like financial, economic, market type analysis, right? I worked as a market research manager on commodity chemicals for like 2.5 years. But the whole thing is, you look at the... you know, in the past I had been investing, but not normal investing. I like high risk, high tech, and biotech, right? All of which went bankrupt. But that's fine. It was money I could afford to lose, and that's what I was interested in. But the trick is I like the fundamental analysis approach to investing and to economics. But the one thing that becomes obvious to you after a while is, and I never express it that way, it doesn't work. It kind of provides a very gentle, approximate sort of like valuation model for what things are worth, but it doesn't actually work. It's wrong most of the time, and badly wrong, because that's not how people think. The smartest people in the world are in Wall Street, probably. Way smarter than any university profs.
They are the sheep herders.
Well, you know what? A lot of them on the financial analysis side aren't. They're not leaders. They're just brutally effective thinkers, okay? And they turn on a dime, right? Because you have to. In that market, you have to throw away your beliefs. You have to react in ways that won't get you killed in terms of finances, right? So what happened was this Elliott Wave theory for stock market analysis. You may have heard of that 30 or 40 years ago, right? It was really prominent. And because of another series of books I was reading, I thought, what happened to Elliott Wave? I haven't heard of it since probably 1992 or 2000 or something.
Elliott what?
Elliott Wave theory. It's very, You know, when you take a look at stocks.
Is that the about the stocks?
Yeah. But if you take a look at stock market analysis, sometimes they'll show technical indicators of the market that it should break through a support point or break down through a support point, or there's a cone or an amplifier or convergent, right? That's all from this area. Almost all of that was from Elliott Wave Theory, which was back in the 1930s. But the modern guy that's been promoted is Robert Pechter. And what he says is this, and you know, the thing that hit me the most is this fundamental idea is I'm all alone. Look at how radical I was when I was talking to Carmelita about climate science. The issue has got nothing to do with climate at all. The issue is how stupid all the scientists are. All. And by the way, that means we're all stupid. And we are. We're all stupid. It's amazing how stupid we are. So you come back to this thing of an alien wave, and you look at it, it's the brightest guys in the world. A lot of money's on the table. And you know what? They are all sheep. There's not one of them really thinking. They go along with the flow. They're all lemmings and sheep following the rest of them. And the ones that are smart enough to realize that this is really stupid,
they
don't have a choice because they're going to get killed if they don't jump in, right? Yeah. If something goes wrong and you're part of the herd, then you can't be blamed. You're part of the herd.
Yeah.
But if something goes wrong and you're doing something completely different than everybody else, you're fired the next day. That's the end of your career. So
you are the rotten apple.
But you know, these guys, and people can't stand it. People can't stand it. That scientists cannot. You know, scientists are the biggest liars because they have a philosophy that they absolutely do not follow. They're the biggest backstabbers ever. They're the biggest liars ever, are scientists. That's university profs and government research scientists, totally unionized, totally guaranteed salary, huge benefits, the whole bit, and they're the biggest liars in our society, and morons, right? They're smart. They're smart in the way of they memorize stuff. So this guy comes along, he says that about the stock market. Look at all these high-paid guys making jillions, and they're smart, but they're really, really stupid. They just keep going over it, and they never, ever catch when there's going to be a crash or an explosion. They're not capable of doing that. Their whole basis of thinking cannot do that, and never will.
They never ran out of words.
And so you know what they're, and Gary, you're going to like this one. So you know what the basis is for modeling the market with Elliott Wave principle? And I didn't realize that earlier. It's kind of a fractal, they call it fractal, right? Kind of a loose word. But it's a sort of waveform. It's a waveform analysis, right? Based on what? Well, he's long believed, so did the original guy. What this is, it's a measurement, and the stock market is probably the most accurate general indicator of mood and emotion in the population. Because people invest according to their emotions and mood, not according to rationale. The highest paid guys in the world, they're not putting the money in based on rational analysis, because they wouldn't do it on that basis. They can't. That's not the way we're built. They put it in based on, I got a good feeling. And you know what? The neat thing is, this guy's done all this for decades, right? This book's from 1999, and he started working on this probably in the 70s or 80s, a social thing, right? Well, then I'll say, well, it's the stock market, who cares? Well, you know what? It's the only model that really works for women's fashions, political, and this really helped me. Politics and elections has nothing to do with issues. We've always kind of known that because people never think. That's my thinking. But they actually predict elections. Why? Because it's based on predicting emotions. And where do you know where emotions are going from? Well, you things like the stock market or other pre-indicators. So it's just about every sociological indicator is predictable on this basis. And all of the last 300 years of thinking in sociology isn't worth shit. It's worth nothing. And all the policy that are derived from the kind of university sociology causes far more damage in society than good. The problem is it causes some good. So they say, oh yeah, we're causing good. Yeah, but overall, every, you know, Richard Herrnstein and Charles Murray wrote a book they got crucified for. Because they had jumped on board with Lyndon Baines Johnson war on poverty. It was an exciting period of time for socialists. They're going to finally resolve poverty. They threw billions and billions at it. But what they said is they had sociological targets, indicators, right? Every single one of those indicators was 5 to 10 times worse after 20 years of that program than before they started. Why? Because the good intentions make things worse, way worse, not a little bit, way worse. And nobody's ever been brave enough to stand up and say that. That's the way I think, because I look at this shit. Because you want to do good, you want to save the world, but you know, that's not enough. That usually leads, you know, the worst of the evils are from people that are very well-intentioned. And you know what? Nazism is one of them. So is Stalinism. Those are socialists. They were true socialists. Not like the sort of pseudo-fake socialists. Eh? Those guys truly represented socialism. And the modern guys do not. They're wishy-washy, between-the-boards type thing.
Come what may.
You know, they're covering their ass for all their terror and murder and genocide. All of modern genocide is dominated by socialism, you know, for 150 years, and nobody calls them to it. And Nazism is socialist, pure and simple. It always was. How can anybody be stupid enough and incompetent and dishonest enough to classify Nazism as right wing? You can't do it. But that's exactly what our university profs are all like. Essentially, all of them. Extremely dishonest, dysfunctional, delinquent, hypocritical, backstabbing, coward, parasitic. You know, it's like, so this book is just like being a revelation.
Your drums in the background.
Yeah, there is.
So if you're talking about social issues, political issues, and the rest of it, this is the first time I've ever read anything that, you know, if I was just graduating from university, I couldn't read this. Because there's no way it could make sense of it. But after you've gone through this, after you finally realize how stupid essentially all government government academic research scientists are, you actually know that because you've gone through this. And you see it in every area of science over and over and over again. And these stupidities endure for thousands of years sometimes, right? And then you see that in other areas. And then you know there's something wrong with the politics and the way that people talk one way, act and think the other way. And they whitewash everything they do when, you know, you're part of the most evil movement in history. How can you be comfortable with that? But they are. Because you know why? That evil part of it was really part of them all along. They just don't want to show you that. That's the horrible part about socialism.
And
so anyway, so you come into this, and this guy is predictive. So you could actually start predicting stuff, possibly. No theory is right. But this might be the first time this is predictive. Oh, I should give you a hand.
Bill, are you finished?
No, I was just getting started.
It's just warming up.
Never finished.
You might forget.
Yeah, this is scary. This is a data.
Thank you.